ಅಷ್ಟಪ್ರಯೇ ಸ್ವಭದ್ರೇಶು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವೆಯ ಭಗವದೀ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನಾಶ್ಚಿಕೇ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 71 ವರ್ಸ್ 29. ಸೂತಮಾಗದ ಗಂಧರ್ವಾ ಬಂದಿನ ಚೋಪಮಂತ್ರಿಣ ಮೃದಂಗ ಶಂಖ ಪತಃ ವೀಣಾಪನವ ಗೋಮುಖೈ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಾಚಾರವಿಂದಾಕ್ಷಂ ತುಷ್ಟೂರ್ನಂತ್ರೂರ್ಜಗು. ಸೂತಮಾಗದ ಗಂಧರ್ವ ಮಂದಿನ ಚೋಪಮಂತ್ರಿಣ ಮೃದಂಗ ಶಂಖ ಪತಃ ವೀಣಪನವ ಗೋಮುಖೈ ಕಾರಣಾಚಾರ ಬಿಂದಾಕ್ಷಂ ತುಷ್ಟೂರ್ನಂತ್ರೂರ್ಜಗು. ಸೂತಮಾಗದ ಗಂಧರ್ವ ಚೋಪಮಂತ್ರಿಣ ಮೃದಂಗ ಶಂಖ ಪತಃ ವೀಣಪ್ಪಣವ ಗೋಮುಖೈ ಚಾರವಿಂದಾಕ್ಷಂ ತುಷ್ಟೂರ್ನಂತ್ರೂರ್ಜಗು. Reciting prayers, some dancing and singing as mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, veenas, panavas and gomukhas resounded. There is no purport, so we go to the next one. Evam subhutvi paniyasta punya shloka shikamanihi samstuyamano bhagavan viveshalankrittam puram. Translation. Thus surrounded by his well-wishing relatives and praised on all sides, Lord Krishna, the crest jewel of the justly renowned, entered the decorated city. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, while Lord Krishna was entering the city, all the people were talking among themselves about the glories of the Lord, praising his transcendental name, quality, form, etc. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾವೆಲಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಇಂದ್ರಪ್ರಸ್ಥ.
for those of you who are here today for the first time or after a long time, just a recap. This particular chapter is known as the Lord Traveling to Indraprastha. The chapter before was known as Lord Krishna's Daily Activities. In that particular chapter, what happens is, there is a messenger who is coming from King Jarasandha. Not from King Jarasandha. The kings who were captured by Jarasandha. According to the Bhagavatam, 20,000 kings were kept under captive by Jarasandha. And so, they refused to accept the supremacy or the kingly position of Jarasandha. So, because they refused, he imprisoned them. So, they sent a messenger. Said, we only accept Krishna. And so, they sent a message to Krishna to come and save them. Release them from the prison. Now, the messenger has come. At the same time, Narada Muni comes. He also descends there. And Narada Muni tells Krishna that Yudhishthira is performing Rajashriya and you should go there. So, it was a kind of a dilemma. What to do? And of course, the younger generation was saying, let's go and fight Jarasandha, kill him and release the kings. And then, that this was being debated, then Krishna looks at Uddhava and asks Uddhava, okay, what is your suggestion? Of course, Uddhava is a pure devotee of the Lord, so he will come out with a suggestion that will be pleasing to, most importantly, the Lord. Actually, the Lord's ultimate plan will be what is coming out through a pure devotee. And so Uddhava says, go to the Rajashuya and then go to the king, there is the kingdom of Magadha, and then dress as brahmanas and then beg for a fight and then kill Jarasandha. So that was in the previous chapter. Now, according to the plan, they are traveling to Indraprastha, and this is the description when they are coming to Indraprastha. And when they landed there, how all the Pandavas accepted him, Krishna. And also now this particular verse talks about all the different kinds of people there, court jesters and brahmanas glorifying the Lord, plus playing all kinds of musical instruments. This particular verse doesn't have a purpose. There are generally certain rules for selection of verses for the Bhagavatam. Of course, these days, nobody follows these rules, and nobody even knows those rules. Nobody is interested in these rules. But we are the old school of thought. So we were thought differently. So in Bhagavatam, anyway, I'm just saying, just rambling, it's an old man rambling. Some of you might be interested. If you're not interested, it doesn't matter. But there are rules. Now, if there is no purport, then you don't write the verse. Because that particular verse we write, see, like this one, we are not really meditating about it. The verse that you write is something that is to be there for the whole class to meditate upon. And if there is no purport, like this one, there is no purport, then we should write the next. But the person who is giving the class can read the first one and go to this one with the purport. So the whole class, see now, if I say, please repeat after me, you can't repeat after me because there's nothing there. The translation is not there. Now, sometimes there may be no purport. Okay, that's the first rule. Sometimes there may be no purports, but it will be a description of devotional service. Now, that is very important. In that case, you can write the verse. Because by chanting that particular verse, you get a lot of benefit. Now, sometimes it is geographical description. 400 miles, 800 miles, and 700 miles, and so, you don't have to. Even though there is a purport, you don't have to write because, again, there is no benefit as far as devotional service is concerned. But then again, in geographical distribution too, when there is a description, when they are talking about the islands and they are talking about trees, like Jambu Dvipa and the trees and the Jambu trees and the Jambu fruits. Now, while the description is going on, the syllables like Ra and Ma, they are hidden while you're chanting. Rama, Krishna, Vasudeva, all these are hidden, though there is a description. And when that kind of a description is there, that also is beneficial. Even though there is no purport, it's beneficial to chant those verses. Now, when Vyasa wrote his verses, he did not take the dictionary, he didn't take the Nirukti, and then he purposely coined words so that it will sound like that. No, he didn't do that. He need not have to do that. He is empowered by Krishna himself. This is Krishna himself writing. So it comes naturally. But then when you read, of course the scholars will tell you when they read, you can emphasize on those particular words, you will get the benefit of chanting. The whole idea of the Kali Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy names. So the whole idea of chanting the holy names is, we get the benefit by chanting certain verses. Also, the Bhagavatam class is a whole meditation. It's just like daily worship. In fact, the Bhagavatam is described, the first canto, canto 1 to 12 cantos, those who were new, you have to understand the Bhagavatam is 12 cantos. The first canto is the feet of the Lord. And then it goes up, second, knees and thighs and abdomen and even the neck and face. The 10th is the face. And the 12th is known as the Brahmarandra, the topmost portion of the head. So, it is a whole lot of meditation. When you read the verse, you read the verse, this is how the meditation goes, and you read the verse, then you read the purport, then you explain. You explain according to the audience that is there. Supposing you are giving a class to children, now I can't speak like this, that boy will not understand anything, and it's only fair that he's occupied with something. But if it's only children, then I have to speak to them according to the way they will like it. I can't speak like this. Yesterday, I had a class for doctors in Wellington. We had a program, and they were all doctors. So the whole program was different. I had an LCD projector, and it was a bit of a blast. Because you had talked, material education is the biggest block to spiritual practices. So we have to change the tactic a bit. We sold some books anyway. But the point is, what I'm saying is, read the verse, read the purport, explain according to the audience that is seated, then come back to the conclusion, whatever that verse is saying, come back to the conclusion and establish the statement by giving evidences. Prabhupada says, evidence should not come from Time magazine and news. He mentions that word. So it should be from Shastras. So we try to take evidence from different kinds. Suppose Krishna says, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you have to establish that statement. And you have to give evidence from various shastras. And then, so what happens is, the most beautiful thing is, and the Pancharatra rules, this is the other thing. Many people don't understand. Once the Bhagavatam class starts, the Lord does not reside there. He is supposed to come here. That means He is here. His glorification. The Bhagavatam is the Lord Himself. And when we start about, it's a Pancharatra rule. You're not supposed, sometimes, newcomers come, they go straight and they pay obeisances and all that, that's alright. But devotees should straight away understand that the Bhagavatam is here, the Lord is here, should straight away sit down and listen to the Bhagavatam. Everybody's running with it. They got duties and all that. But they don't know this. These rules nobody knows. Nobody's telling them and nobody knows. And even in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's lifetime, and a Bhagavatam's class is going on, two of his great disciples went to go and just look at devotees. And then he chastised them for that. What are you doing? There's nobody there. In some Sri Sampradaya, they actually close. Supposing they have this, the Utsava Murti, which means the festival deities. When the festival deities are small deities, of course you can't take the big deities and go on a procession. When the festival deities go out, they close the curtain. We keep it open. Even Bhagavatam class we keep it open. They won't keep it open. Because dawn is already in there. Now the Lord has descended into the festival deities. So till the deities come back, they won't open the thing. And the deities come back, and now the deities they come back and then they go to the thing. They have a concept like that to emphasize upon the importance of. So similarly, the Bhagavatam class. The Bhagavatam also has got a lot of, leelas. The pastimes of Bhagavatam. I don't know if some of you might know, there is a famous temple in South India called Guruvayur in Kerala. It's a very famous temple. It's a Krishna temple. There was this great author by the name of Narayana Bhadatri. He was a Vedic, Sanskrit, Vedic scholar. So he translated the Bhagavatam into the Malayalam language. And so, and of course there was a lot of stories about him having pastimes with the Supreme Lord himself. Now one day, what they decided was this Bhagavatam should be recited. There is a Shiva temple close by, and the Bhagavatam should be recited in the Shiva temple. So this Bhagavatam and the Narayana Bhattatri was invited to come to the Shiva temple and recite the Bhagavatam. So, to make the story short, the first day he came in there, he started with Bhagavatam, and he started reading the Bhagavatam. Say he went up to the place where, you know, Varaha was lifting the earth from the Garbha ocean, and then he puts this kind of a thing to say, I finished up here, to continue tomorrow, and then he goes away. Of course, the whole hall is packed, everybody has come to listen to the Bhagavatam. Next morning, when he wants to recite the Bhagavatam again, it's gone back to page 1. So Narayana Bhattatri is shocked, why is it gone to page 1? And then he is asking the audience, has anybody touched my book? He said, no, why would you do that? You know, you won't touch the book. So again, he looked at it and then he said, alright, since it's there in the page 1, I will start again. So again he went from page 1 and he finished a certain number of pages. And then he closed the book and went off. The next morning, again, back to page 1. So the Narayana Bhattatri was shocked and asked again, did anybody touch? So nobody said, okay, I don't care, you know, if this is the way, I'm going to still do it. So he went on. But the people got bored, isn't it? If they got bored in the sense, you know, same thing again, and I've got so many things to do. And, you know, they ran away. The crowd is dwindling, slowly dwindling. By the 18th day, there was nobody in the class. And Narayana Bhattatri was alone. And then he looked and only Lord Shiva is there and he is alone. Anyway, he said, okay, I'll start the class. And he started. But before he could start, there was a voice from the Sanctum Sanctorum. The Lord Shiva is speaking to him. Don't worry. It is I who kept turning the papers. Because it is so beautiful. I want to hear it again and again. Rajan samsmritya, he says, Sanjaya, when he says about, when I think about this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, Rajan samsmritya, that whenever I hear it, it's so beautiful, I kept turning the page. So this is how the Bhagavatam is capturing even Lord Shiva. It is such a beautiful story. Now, the Lord traveling to Indraprastha, we have to understand what is Indraprastha. Now, Indraprastha was built. There was an area called Kandava Prastha. That's how it started. When the Pandavas came back, I mean, if you know Mahabharata, there was the house of Lakka and the Kauravas wanted to kill them and they escaped and they went off. And finally, when they came back, they were demanding some land. So they said, okay, we will give you some land. And the Kauravas gave the Pandavas some barren land called Kandava Prastha on the banks of the Yamuna River. It was such a bad place. Anyway, Lord Krishna was there. He summoned Indra. And he said, do something about this. And Indra straight away summoned Vishwakarma, who is the celestial architect for the Devas. And then they built a very nice huge city. And that city was called, since it was built by Indra, it is known as Indraprastha. Now this Indraprastha is actually where the present Delhi is. Look at Delhi. Delhi was first built by a king called King Dilu. He was a descendant of Karan, as they say in the North India. Karna's grandsons, they were the first inhabitants after the Mahabharata war. And there's King Dilu, the descendant, who built this city of Delhi, which is now known as Delhi, in that same area. Because all the time it was destroyed, especially by the Muslim invasion. Everything was destroyed totally, you know. So, Dilu founded Delhi, and then what happened was, that place is still known as Puranakila. If you go to Delhi, there's a place called Puranakila. That is supposed to be the original place where this thing took place. Then much later, the British built New Delhi, and it said that Indrapath, they call it Indrapath, they say. And that's the place where New Delhi was built. And they called a French architect, I can't remember his name, who designed a New Delhi. Anyway, now Hastinapur is about 100 kilometers, which is not very far from present Delhi. In fact, Hastinapur still exists. You can still go to Hastinapur, but it's nothing. It's all demolished. Again, Muslim invasion, there's nothing there. just a few villages and few houses. And of course, these archaeologists have been digging and they've been finding a lot of things in that place. Now, the most important thing, why I want to describe this Indraprastha is, there was a beautiful palace in that city. And this palace was the major cause for the Mahabharata war. One of the main reasons why subsequently the whole thing took such a bad twist, because of this beautiful palace. This palace was built by Maya. Now, the story is like this. How this palace came to be built? There was once the king's, what's his name? Svetaki. This Svetaki was performing a lot of yajnas. And he was performing for long, long time. And the priest, you know, there was so much smoke and the priest all ran away. They just couldn't stand the smoke. And everybody was coughing and spluttering and ran away. And when the priest ran away, Svetaki couldn't perform his yajna. I'm just cutting the story very short. He couldn't perform the yajna. So he prayed to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva says, not to worry, I'll send Durvasa. So Durvasa was seconded, was assigned to do the, what do you call this, job of sacrifice. So when Durvasa came and the sacrifice, and went for a long time, almost 12 years. And when we sit here for some, you know, some initiation, and sometimes when the smoke is a bit too much, everybody is running this way and that way, opening the windows and all that, and that is only for a short while, but for 12 years. Okay, at the end of 12 years, what happens is Agnideva, the deity behind the fire, he himself is suffering from indigestion because there's so much of oblation, so much of ghee. You know, we take too much of ghee, we can't get digested. It will be, oh, it's so full. Actually, ghee, that's why ghee is a very good alternative for meat. You know, people who are very much into meat eating, you have to give them a lot of ghee. And then they'll get very, very satiated very quickly and it looks as if that they've eaten a lot. Anyway, Agni's story, he's now having indigestion. He goes to Brahma and cries to him, oh, Kana, what am I supposed to do? And Brahma says, all right, you have to have aushadha. Aushadha means herbal treatment. There is this Kandava, there is a forest here. Go to that forest and then you consume that forest and your indigestion will be all right. So he goes to the forest and how will Agni consume? By fire. So he was trying to put on the fire. And every time he starts a fire, Indra sends the rains. And he can't do it. Every time he does it, Indra comes in the rains. Why is Indra doing this? Because Indra's friend Takshaka stays there and he wants to protect his friend. So this is how. So when this is going on, and that's when Agni then realizes that Krishna and Arjuna are there somewhere there in the Yamuna river bank. So he becomes an old man. As an old man, he goes and begs, you know, can you please help me? And all that. Then Arjuna, of course, you're a Brahmana, I'll help you. And then he says, reveals, I'm Agni. This is my problem. I have to consume this forest. Please help me. Said, sure. And then Arjuna gives Arjuna. That's when Arjuna gets his Gandiva. That's how he gets his quiver. You know, the quiver is where you keep the arrows. Now, that special quiver, Arjuna's quiver, is always packed with arrows. It's never ending. It's not like a AK-47, after some times it finishes, or the six shooter, and after six times, you know, if you see Indian movies, people be counting 1, 2, 3, you know, be waiting for the sixth one. Now, this is a quiver which has got an unending supply of arrows that was given by Agni. And the chariot, with the, was it Hanuman? I think so. Chariot with Hanuman is flying. Yeah, that was all given by Agni. He said, all this is the insignia so that you will be protected, nobody can defeat you. Okay, now with all that, Krishna and Arjuna go to the thing, and then of course, you know, very easy for Arjuna, he's just shooting arrows, Indra is sending the rains. But the arrows are forming an umbrella, so the rains can't touch the forest, and Agni is so satisfied, he's finishing off the forest. And of course, Indra is shocked, who is this guy, you know, coming as usual. And then he comes down, and then he realizes that it is Krishna and Arjuna, and so he pays his oblations, and then he goes away. Now, a few people escaped in the Kandarva forest, one of them is Maya. Maya, just like Vishwakarma is the celestial architect for the devas, Maya is the celestial architect for the asuras. So Maya says, you saved my life, I need to do something. Then Krishna says, Arjuna says, no, I don't want anything, that's my duty. Then Krishna says, build him a nice palace. So they build a very, Maya builds a beautiful, it goes to, this big description how he builds the palace. It's not from earthly, the stuff that he brings from. It's not like, he didn't go to Bunnings and get this stuff. He goes right up to, Meru and gets all kinds of jewels and gems. And, between two pillars, it seems you can have like a live telecast, the description. So many things are going on. Not only that, the most important part of that particular palace is, the floors can look like pools of water, and pools of water can look like floors. And that's when once, when Duryodhana came, and when Indraprastha became so powerful, and when the Kauravas come there, and Duryodhana is amazed, and he looks at the floor, and he walks on the floor, and he falls. Because the floor, or rather the pool of water, I'm getting confused, but you know what I mean. The floor looks like the pool of water and pool of water. So when he sees a pool of water, he's avoiding very carefully because, I will drop it. But that's a floor. And when he sees a floor, he walks hastily, but then it's a pool and he falls into the pool. When he falls into the pool, Draupadi is there in the upper chamber there and she laughs. That laugh. That's the reason for Mahabharata. It says that laugh. Draupadi's laugh. That woman, I will teach her a lesson. That's why the whole thing, and when he even insisted that the Draupadi should be put as a stake in the gamble, and then when the gamble was lost, and strip her. Now all that you know. So that is basically a bit of about Indraprastha. Now we heard about Narada coming to the picture too, and he comes suddenly. And when Narada comes, the most important thing, Narada gets so much of attention by everybody, including Lord Krishna. He's even doing service to his feet and, Pada Puja and accepting his remnants and all that. And it says that ultimately when Narada left, very happy with everything. In fact, in that particular chapter, the glorifications of Narada, that he's a Supreme Personality, that's an evidence. If anybody is collecting evidence whether Krishna is God, I can say Narada's prayers. You can't just read the few words, the few verses, and then it so clearly states that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Got it? No doubt about it. Now, some interesting aspects about Narada. Narada has had many, many births. Most importantly, there are more than seven births, but about seven births are described in the Puranas. When he first takes birth, he takes birth from the lap of Brahma. He appears on the lap of Brahma. From the mind, or from the mind comes the Saptarishis, and the right thumb comes Daksha, and from the lap comes Narada, and out of his anger, when he's angry, and Rudra comes out from between his eyebrows. So these are all the descriptions. So when Narada first comes into existence, as usual, he wants to know, who am I? What am I doing here? What is the goal of life? So when he understands that, and when Brahma wants him to take part in progeneration, he, having understood spiritual life, is not interested in the material life. So he refuses to do so. He said, no, why should I? I'm not interested. I want to go back home, back to Godhead. And that makes Brahma very angry, and Brahma curses him. Alright, you don't want to listen to me? You become a Gandharva. And then you enjoy. You want to enjoy, right? Okay, give you enjoyment. Go become a Gandharva is an angel. The description of an angel in the Bible is similar to the Gandharva. So, and Gandharvas come all the time and pass good messages and, the same thing. Now what happens is, Gandharva is also, but there is graphic description about the Gandharva in the Puranas, which is absent in the Bible. Of course they can fly, but most importantly they are great singers. They're great singers, musicians, dancers, like Adam. He's a Gandharva probably, and he's come to us now to participate in all this. So, they are very, very, very much into music. So he said, not only that, he said, you become a Gandharva and you marry 50 wives. So anybody wants material life, So he said, since you don't listen to me, I'm punishing you that way. So he becomes a Gandharva, and then he marries 50 wives and he is happy about himself. Then what happens is, Brahmaloka, there is a big program. So the Gandharvas come for this program. So And his name is Upabharana. Upabharana is his name as the Gandharva. He goes with the 50 wives and they go up to Brahmaloka and they are performing. There is dancers, Apsaras are dancing. And he is singing. The singing, what he is singing is giving the glories and pastimes of Lord Krishna and Radha. That is the whole thing. And so the dancers are all, they are dancing with mudras, which means, for everything there is abhinaya, we call it. Which means everything is enacted by the fingers and I don't know, whatever they do. So, and everything was going on. But there was one of these apsaras known as Ramba, and Upabharana was very much attracted to her and was looking at her with lust. While doing so, he missed a beat. Apaswara, they call it. He missed a beat. So when he missed a beat, and now of course, everybody could, they all great musicians themselves. Lord Shiva is the greatest musician himself. Not for nothing, he's known as Nataraj. And then Brahma, everybody noticed it. So Brahma was angry, and Lord Shiva was angry. He opened his third eye. When Shiva gets angry, he opens the third eye. The only thing left for you is he'll burn you when you open the third eye. And also there were the other like Agni and all were also there, and they were also angry, and they all set forth fire to destroy him. Upabharana was in danger, and just like Draupadi was in danger, and she said Krishna Govinda Rakshama. Similarly, Narada too, or Upabharana then. Upabharana also prayed to Krishna. He was seeing the glories of Krishna. Now he's in trouble. He said, Krishna, Govinda, Rakshama, please save me. And then, there was this golden chariot, and in that golden chariot, suddenly descending from nowhere, there were two platforms, lower and higher platform. The lower platforms were Lalita, Vishakha, and Radharani was seated there. The higher higher level was Lord Krishna in his Tribhanga form. Tribhanga form means bent in three ways, three areas. And there's this beautiful form there. And then Lord Krishna stopped the fire. And he, in fact, he sent the fire to a corner of Satyaloka. According to the story, like a godown, sent the fire there to be remain there, to be distributed later on. And then Lord Krishna gave him blessing, said, this curse that Brahma gave you to be Gandharva is now gone. And he said, soon you will be spreading this message of love of Godhead in your next birth, and the time has come for your next birth and all that. And much later, of course, he takes his next birth. He's born as the son of a maid servant, which is, and he himself, Lord Narada himself, explains all the details of how he was a son of a maid servant. And the great riches used to come there, and mother used to serve, and he used to eat the remnants, and how slowly he became, he got realization, he meets Brahma again, and he gets the knowledge, and much later, he reveals his knowledge to Vyasa. And all these details are there, which are given to us. Now, what is most important is, of the 22 incarnations, when we read the chapter 1, I think, in Bhagavatam, the 22 incarnations are mentioned, and that's why, Krishna's the Bhagavan Swayam, that we established that there are so many incarnations, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there, Narada is mentioned as an incarnation too, putting the answer there. So now, that is because it's an empowered incarnation. Empowered means it's known as Sakti Avish Avatar. That means one potency of the Lord descends into a jiva. And the jiva, like Vyasa. Vyasa is also a Satyavish in the sense literary potency. And so here, the devotion, the potency of devotional service is handed over to Narada to spread so Narada Pancharatra Sutras, most of whatever we are doing, our practices and all, are actually developed from whatever Narada has been teaching. In India, of course, there is a lot of misconception about Narada. They think Narada is, in the north, they think he's a clown. Sometimes in the dramas, they depict Narada as a clown. Doing some silly things. In the south, Narada is depicted as a troublemaker. He is known as Kalahapriya, which means a troublemaker. He loves trouble. It is true, he takes a message from one side to another, but the reason is always for an ulterior motive, that is to ultimately show that the true glories, or to propagate the true glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is empowered. Is the empowered to preach devotional service, And that's why he becomes very important to us. Now, these pastimes of the Lord, there are various pastimes of the Lord. Sometimes, like I said, we explain certain things to emphasize the importance of the various pastimes. Like for instance, I said we should give evidence from the Shastras. For some people in the Bhakti movement, we actually enjoy these pastimes. But others actually think this is a waste time. Because they think, what the stories, just absurd stories, elephants with wings flying over this way and that way. And all that becomes, millions of people. It becomes too much to digest. So just like Agni had his indigestion, these people also have the indigestion. And they just reject it totally. Now, it is difficult to understand, true. But the way to understand will be, you have to accept it. It has to be given to you, but properly. Or the best way to understand is through your spiritual master. Shastra Shakshuhu, it says. You have to see with the eyes of the Shastras. Then when you read Shastras, you get confused. Always there will be some confusion. Now the next thing is, that the Shastras should be seen with the eyes of the Guru. So you have to look at the Shastra. And then Shastra should be read through the help of your Guru. In that way. But what is important is this pastime. All the pastimes are not revealed here. For instance, the 22 incarnations, you don't say like, we have heard of Hayagriva. Hayagriva is the one with the horse set up and he redeems the Vedas and all that. But in the 22 incarnations, it's not there. Why is he not there? Vishwakarma, the elephant headed or the elephant formed God. There are so many different kinds, so many different incarnations. But we read about, but it's not there in the list of 22 incarnations. Then you might wonder, what happened? What is this? They say he came like this, he came like this, but it's not. The full list, the original, this is not the original Srimad Bhagavatam. This is only the small version. If you have the original version, BBT will be forming its mouth, printing those books. They can't print. And imagine all of you are trying to distribute the books. By the time you take the book out of the temple, you'll be fainting. Because it'll be such a huge one. There's supposed to be 84 lakhs or 8,400,000 species of life. So there are 8,400,000 avatars, expansions of the Lord or incarnations of the Lord. Just imagine, cockroach, mosquito, name it. That is an incarnation. And the full list is available with Lord Yamaraj. So when we meet him, maybe we can ask him to at least show us the book we want to see. we can't even read Bhagavatam. How to read that Bhagavatam? This Bhagavatam itself we can't read. Now the pastimes, why these pastimes, like I said so many times? So they are actually trailers of the real thing. This is the material world. The Lord is coming to the material world and is showing us some trailers of what really happens in the spiritual world. Supposing you're going for a movie, you're going to see a movie, then you're going to see one movie, but there'll be a trailer of that movie that's going to come in the future. Om Shanti Om or something like that. And then, some important scene, must-see scene, and and the villain is being beaten up by the hero, and then you get excited, yeah, I want to sing. So you'll go next time, and then you run for. So there are trailers, and outside the theater, you'll find stills. Hema Malini and Dharmendra, whatever. Your favorites are Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman in different positions, and this is great. So the stills, our daily forms, they are stills. Each one of the daily forms here is a particular pastime, and that is a still. If Gaur Nithai here in that particular form, that's a still of a pastime, and we can understand Jagannath there, the pastime. And when he comes and does a little bit of this, that is the trailer. The full picture is where? The full picture is in the spiritual world. When we go back, we get this full picture. Now, to see a show, we need tickets. So what is a ticket? The ticket is devotional service. By performing devotional service, then you're qualified to go. And just like to buy tickets, you need currency, you need money. So how to get this? What is the currency for this devotional service? The currency is chanting the Maha Mantra. And that song is chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So in the Brahma Sutras it is said, Ilelaitena Bhuvanani Jayatya Jasram. Lord says, I come and perform this pastime, the Leela, because you are attracted to a Maya. So I am performing, so you get attracted to me, and then you come back home, back to the Hare Krishna. Is there any comments, questions? Please. Prabhupada says, if no questions, either you know everything or understood. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.